Well, good evening to each one. It's a privilege to be here this evening. I count it a privilege to be able to share the hope of the gospel. And it's my prayer tonight that the Lord would visit us with His presence, with the inspiration of His Spirit. I feel very dependent on the Lord, and I trust that you've prayed for this meeting. I hope you've prayed for it more than I have, because I want the Lord to bless it. I want to be able to get something from the Word of the Lord. I'd like to start this evening by quoting, although I wrote it down here, but you don't have to turn to it. There's a verse in 2 Peter 1 and 10 that says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence that ye make your calling and election sure." And I want to notice to start with that he was addressing the brethren. He was addressing the church. He wasn't addressing people that were heathen, if you will, didn't know anything about the Lord. But he was addressing the brethren. And he told them, he said, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, you take heed that you give diligence, that you make your calling and election sure." He didn't say unsure, or make sure it's maybe, or make your calling and election, well, hope that the Lord has mercy on you in the end and we'll see how things turn out. That's not what he said. But he told them, he said, "Give diligence that you make your calling and election sure." There's a day coming, there's a last day coming for all of us. And we're going to be weighed, if you will, in the balance of truth, if I can say it that way. I've thought different times, I thought about drawing it on the board, I decided against it. But you've seen those balance beams, you know, where you put the weight on, a known weight on the one side, and then you put some other unknown weights on the other side and see how it balances up with something that's known. Well, at the last day, if you'll allow me to visualize it like this, we're going to have to step on to the balance beam, to the balance, and there's going to be truth that is going to be put on one side. The truth that the Lord has revealed to us, that He has been merciful to show us. And then we're going to have to step up on there, and we're going to have to give an account according to how things measure out according to the truth. It's serious. And when that day comes and my name is called and the Lord bids me and says it's my turn, I want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't want to miss out on eternal life. There's nothing in this life that's worth it. Nothing at all. It's going to be worth everything. I remember the man, you do too, there's a man that came to Jesus, and he said, "Master, what must I do to be saved?" He didn't ask, "Lord, what must the church do to be saved? Lord, what must my brother over here do to be saved?" But it was personal. And he came to the Lord and he said, "Lord, what must I do to be saved? What do I have to do to be saved?" Because in the end, every man's going to stand for himself. And I'm going to stand for myself. And I want to know what I have to do to be saved, because I want to be saved. And my burden for this meeting, I guess the central theme of it is, what must I do to be saved? We only have 5 services or something like that. And it isn't going to be all inclusive, but I feel a burden. Lord, what must I do to be saved? And it's a message to the church. Please understand that too. Peter's exhortation was to those that it said, that had obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God. Those of you that have received like precious faith through the righteousness of God, what must we do to be saved? And I want to write that on the board. This is personal.
Try not to fall off.
That's an important question. And so this evening I'd like to start and read in the 23rd chapter of Proverbs and the 23rd verse. And I'm going to write it down. This is my message tonight. Buy the truth and sell it not. It says, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy the truth, buy wisdom, buy instruction, buy understanding, and don't sell it. What is truth? What is truth? Anyone? That word is truth. Truth is right, isn't it? Truth is righteousness. Truth has been proved. You can't overturn truth by majority rule. You don't get to get a whole group of people together in a room somewhere and get to decide what truth is. Well, let's have a vote. Let's just have a vote and see what truth is. Truth behaves independent of what the people in the room think. It doesn't change. Truth doesn't change. It just is. And it doesn't matter with the changing times if the vast majority of people change their perspective. Truth is still truth. Truth is worth building your life on. Truth is worth investing in. The Scripture says, the Lord said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He said, I'm truth. He is truth. And you aren't going to find truth by going other places. And investing in other things. Truth is found through the Word. Truth is found through Jesus Christ. And it's worth something. And there's consequences that result if you don't live according to truth. There just is. Eventually there is. Michael and I were talking on the way to church. There's a little saying that says, the wheels of justice move slowly, but they do move. And you know, sometimes people can feel like they're getting away with something. But there's going to come a time when if you live your life outside of what truth is, there's a consequence. There just is. And it doesn't matter whether or not you knew it was truth or not. Truth behaves independent of what you know, even if you're innocent in it. I may not know that I'm getting ready to hit the candle, but it's gonna fall if I hit it. And it doesn't say, oh, Rod doesn't know that I'm here, so I guess I won't fall. It gets hit, it's gonna fall. And then I have to deal with the consequences of it. Sometimes people say, well, I didn't know, as if no harm, no foul, and yet you've got shattered glass everywhere. Well, there's something wrong. There's broken glass all over the floor. Somebody did it. You might have done it innocently, but the fact of the matter is, the truth is, you did something that caused a problem. What? I want to know what truth is. Because if I operate outside of truth, then I'm going to have to deal with the consequences of operating outside of truth. The truth says, or the verse says, buy it. Buy truth. What does it mean to buy? Buy means that you have to give something up if you want it. And it means that there's something else that you're not going to get. If I decide if I have $1.50 and I go buy an ice cream cone, I just gave up my opportunity to buy a junior burger. Because I don't have the $1.50 anymore. I made a choice. You say, well, we can buy them both. We can buy the burger and we can buy the ice cream cone too. Well, maybe you can, but now there's something else you can't buy. It'll eventually catch up with you. You're making decisions on what you're investing in, and it's not limitless. You're gonna reach an end. Our plates are only so big in life. You can only fit so much on it. You can only invest in so many things. And this scripture says, buy truth. You're gonna have to give something for it. Are you gonna have to give money? Is it money that you have to give? I want to read this real quick. Isaiah 55, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. The Lord's not looking to see what kind of bank account you have. I'm thankful that you don't have to have a lot of money to buy truth. He's not talking about money. But you know, if you go on down in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, the 6th verse says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Forsake. And those words are actions. Call upon him. You can't do a lot of other things when you're calling. You're gonna have to invest in some things. If you're gonna spend time to call on the Lord, it means that there's something else that you're not doing. Well, if you're seeking the Lord and you're investing, Lord, I want to know truth. Lord, I want to know who you are. I want to know what's right. I want to know, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Lord, help me. If you're seeking the Lord, there's something else that you're not able to seek. There's only 24 hours in a day. I don't recommend multitasking all the time when you're seeking the Lord. I know He can go with us. We can pray to Him while we're working, thank the Lord. But I want to tell you something. There's a place that God wants us to seek Him and give Him our time and our heart and our minds and give Him some attention that's not distracted by all these other things that the world puts in our hands. You're gonna have to buy it. You're gonna have to make a decision on whether or not you're willing to buy it or not. There's some things you're gonna have to forsake. That means there's some things that you're not gonna be able to partake of that you otherwise would have. That's part of what it means to buy truth. You're gonna have to give something for it. Saints, invest in reading the Bible. Invest in the Word of God. My Word is truth. Invest in prayer. Invest in prayer. Meaningful prayer. Lord. Lord, please come down. Lord, talk to my heart. Lord, I don't want to just say a quick prayer and go on. Lord, I want to feel your presence. Lord, I want to pray until the answer comes. Lord, I want to be like Daniel, who was willing to pray for 3 weeks without an answer coming until the hand of the Lord reached down and touched him. Lord, I want to feel your presence. I want to know you. Invest in prayer. Be willing to have an open mind to the preached word of God. Don't be of the mindset that people, it's just another man, it's just his opinion. It is another man. But it's the word of God. May God help the ministry to be able to present the word of God, which is truth. Look, see it as that. Let the Holy Spirit take the word that's preached and talk to your heart. Don't show up to service and just mark time. Well, it's Sunday. Well, let's see. The preacher ought to be done by, I hope he's done by 12. And then you just let the time go by, and then you go out the back door, the same person that when you came in, come with expectation. Come to church with expectation. Lord, what do you have for me? Lord, what must I do to be saved? I want to buy. I want to invest. Invest in your temple. Know ye not that you're the Spirit of God that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him will God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are? Invest in the temple. Lord, what must I do to be saved? Lord, is my temple acceptable? Lord, with the way that I'm spending my time? Lord, the way that I'm presenting my temple? Lord, the things that I think about? The things that I let rent space in my mind? Lord, are you pleased with it? Lord, I need your Spirit. The Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. How are we going to know truth if you don't have the Spirit of truth? The Lord's ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. Everybody thinks they're right most of the time. I mean, sometimes people don't feel real comfortable where they're at, but everyone thinks pretty highly of their opinions. I found that out in life. And then lots of times people think they're right. You get 10 people and you'll have 10 different ways to do it. I want to know truth. I'm going to have to invest in it. Well, I didn't know I was going to spend this long on the first half of the verse. I know that the people in this congregation, as I look out over the congregation, and I know something about this congregation and a little bit about the kind of truth that you hear preached. This isn't new. I know you've heard this before. I know that you know that it's important to do these things, but here's my burden tonight. There is something sad and tragic that happens too often. People are willing to sell truth. Oh, the enemy doesn't usually come along to the church, because this is who the message is, the church, to Christians, to people that are saved. The enemy doesn't usually come along one morning and say, "Oh, Rod, you ought to just give up just give the truth up. It doesn't mean anything. It's not worth anything. Just give, you can do a whole lot better somewhere else. A lot more satisfied." That's not the way the enemy usually does for us. What he does is he comes along and he tries to get us to sell a little bit. Starts piecing it out. Gets us to sell just a little bit of truth. You know the story of Stone Soup, right? Sometime back, I thought, this is like Stone Soup in reverse. You remember the story where the man's hungry and all he has is a rock and no one wants to give him anything to eat, and he tells the lady, "Look," she says, "No, go away. I don't have anything to eat." And he says, No. All I need is just a pot of water and a fire. But all I got to do is put this rock in there and it turns into soup. It's pretty neat thing. And so, well, okay. And so he's stirring it around and the lady's watching. He said, you don't have to do this, but if you put some carrots in there, it tastes a lot better. You don't have to, but it does taste better. Well, I think I might have one piece of carrot. I think, well, okay, pretty soon carrots in there. And he keeps stirring, and you can see where the story's going. Well, if you had a little bit of celery, you don't have to. This soup makes itself on its own. But if you had a little bit, it tastes better. Well, you know what? I just might have a stalk of celery. And before all is said and done, he's got beef in there and tomatoes and carrots and celery and the whole nine yards. The enemy likes to come along and get us to do that in reverse. You don't really need the carrots. You could take the carrots out of there. The purpose of the carrots. There's a substitute thing over here. It's a lot cheaper and it does the same thing. And you know what's required of you. You know what the taste is. You know what the nourishment that you kind of need to get out of it. The enemy steals the carrots and plugs something else in. And then he steals something else and puts something else in. And before you're all said and done, you have a whole different soup. You have a whole different truth that's not truth anymore. Don't sell truth. Don't part it out. Have your eyes open to the wiles of the enemy. You know, you go down the road and there's these places called Pick Apart. Is that what they're called? Something like that. You can go in there and there's cars all over the place, up on blocks, and you can find parts and pieces, and you can pick the part off and go put it on your car. But you know what? None of those cars behind the fence run. They're just there, and they've just been pieced out. Just pieced out. But they don't run. They don't go anywhere. They can't get you from point A to point B. The only value they have is just piece it out. Oh, I think I can get $70 for that. Well, you might. You might get $70 for it, but you keep piecing the car out and it'll never run. Have you ever driven down the road and seen a big field and there's this a truck that's just sitting in the field? And there's long grass around it. And it's old. And you look at that and you wonder, maybe you don't think about those things. I do. I look at it sometimes and I think, when was the last time that thing ran? You know, it took a last trip. There was a trip that it took, and it was the last one it ever took. Now, they might have hauled it with a chain out in the field, but I look at things like that, just and I think, that truck had a last trip. What caused the person to decide that it wasn't worth fixing? So that they just hauled it out in the field and left it? What about all those cars that are behind the fence that have been pieced out and parted out? Somebody decided at some point it wasn't worth fixing. I want to tell you something. Your soul is always worth the cost to fix. Don't ever sell truth. Don't ever let the enemy start to piece out truth in your life. Buy the truth. Invest in the truth. And don't sell it. Hold on to it. Don't let go of it. Sometimes we piece out the very thing that we need tomorrow. Maybe you don't need it today. Maybe it's not a temptation for you today. Maybe there is a protection that the Lord put in the Word that He wanted you to have. And then you piece it out. Oh, the enemy's good at that. Get you to let go of it and sell it for something else that you think will bring you satisfaction. Knowing full well that next week that's exactly what you need in your life. Remember the Passover? How much of the Passover lamb they have to eat? The Lord said, you have to eat it all. You have to eat the whole thing. And it was representative of Him, of Christ, the Lamb that was going to die on the cross and shed His blood for us. The same Christ that told us in the New Testament, you need to drink of My blood. You need to eat of My flesh. You need to partake of who I am. And way a long time before that, He told them in the Passover, you've got to eat it all. You couldn't just say, well, you know, I like most of that, but I'm not real fond of the back quarters. But I'll get everything else. Eat it all, He said. You need to eat the whole thing. Because there's good in the whole thing. You may not recognize it, but God does. And that's why it's truth. Don't sell out truth. Don't piece out the lamb. Oh, you remember what many of His disciples told Jesus? Do you remember what they said? They walked away from Him. They said, it's a hard saying. What's a hard saying? We can't do that. And I think about so many of them that walked away. I think many of them walked away sorrowful. Because they wanted to be a disciple. They wanted to be one of the Lord's. But they looked at it and they thought the cost is too high. The cost is never too high. The value of your soul supersedes any cost that's required to maintain truth in your life. The Lord turned to His 12 and He said, are you going to go away too? Where are we going to go? Peter said. Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. There isn't anywhere. We don't know where else to go. Your truth, we may not understand it. It may seem hard. It may be hard. It will be hard sometimes. The Lord never said that following me is going to be a walk in the park all the time. It is hard. There are some hard things. But He said, eat it anyway. Eat the whole thing. The result? They were saved. Oh, the death angel passed over and he saw the blood on the door. And he saved them. It's going to mean everything in the end to have held on to all of the truth. To have invested in knowing what truth is. Don't feel like you already have all the truth. You know, sometimes we fall in that trap. Well, I've been around a long time. You know, I've heard it all. I already know all of the truth. Do you? You know, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about seeing they see not. And hearing they don't hear. And in one place, Jesus said, well, I'm speaking in parables so that they don't understand. He's like, what? Why doesn't He want them to understand? Well, they didn't want to understand. They didn't want to seek the Lord. They didn't want to call upon the Lord. And so the light wasn't given to them. The Lord doesn't just dish out all truth to everyone just because, but He will give it to the one who seeks Him. He will give it to the one who calls on Him. He will give it to the one who is willing to forsake some things. He'll give truth and light to the ones that walk in the light that they have. Some people say, well, I don't really understand all of these things and this doesn't really make sense to me, and so I just don't think I'm going to go that way. And then they turn away from things they did have light on. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Because if you get to the point where you start going outside of the light that God's given you, He never promised to continue to give you more light. And then pretty soon you have people saying things like, I don't see anything wrong with it. Right? Well, I don't think that's wrong. I don't know of any scripture that says that I don't need to do that. Well, no, you probably don't. Because you deviated from the light that God gave you. You're not willing to invest in truth. Oh, tonight, buy the truth. If you're going to buy anything in life, if there's anything to be purchased, purchase the truth. And don't sell it. Don't piece anything out. Don't let the devil come along. You know, sometimes we can think, well, it's the young people. The young people need to get a hold of this because the young people have all these temptations and all these things. And they do. And the message is to the young people. But you know what is so sad to me? It's to see middle-aged people and to see older people. All of a sudden, you look and say, is that brother so-and-so? What happened? And the enemy can come along and say, you know, you've been around a long time. You know what God wants from your heart. You've been doing this a long time, and pretty soon you start feeling like somehow you're above the truth of the gospel and safeguards and things that standards of holiness. And now all of a sudden you think because you're old and you've been around a long time, well, the Lord knows my heart and I can get by with this. And then you piece it out. Why would you let go of it anyway? Because you want to trade it for something else that you think is more pleasing to yourself. And then you keep coming around and start having a false sense of security that everything is okay. And I think about the man with the wedding, without the wedding garment. How many times do you think he came to the wedding? I'd never thought about that a whole lot of times. You know, I used to read that and think, well, the one time he came to the wedding, the man, the Lord came up and said, where's your wedding garment? Maybe it was. And I'm not trying to read into it more, but I was really struck with this. You know, the Lord is merciful to us, and sometimes we do things that are outside of truth, and the Lord checks us, says, you need to go back to the door and put the wedding garment on. You came in here, it was provided, They had it sitting at the door. You knew about it and you went against it anyway. And the Lord's so merciful. He's so kind to us and long-suffering because He wants us to be saved. He doesn't want to have to approach us and say, "Where's your wedding garment? Depart from me, I never..." He doesn't want to say that. But I wonder how many times the man came in to the wedding. Wonder how many times he came in without the wedding garment. Got away with it the first time. Got away with it the second time. Pretty soon he was comfortable coming in among God's people without the wedding garment. And it seemed like he got away with it. Nobody did anything. He wasn't struck down by lightning. He's still alive. He can still testify. He can still raise his hand. And it seems like, hey, this is working. I'm getting by with this. Do you remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? The enemy came in, sowed some tares, and said, "Hey, should we pull all those tares and get them out of here? Just purge, just do a purge. Make sure nobody's in here that's not living right." No, don't do that. Lord will take care of that. There's going to come a time when we're going to stand before the Almighty God, and it's going to be the last time. This man might have been able to come a lot of times, but this time when he came, the Lord showed up. He said, "Where's your wedding garment?" Did he have a lot of words? He was speechless. Why was he speechless? Because I can just hear the Lord saying, "Oh, where's the word that you read that I opened up to you some time back? What did you do with the word that I gave the preacher for you, and the preacher didn't know it, but I knew you needed it. What did you do with that? What did you do with the prayers that I answered for you? What did you do with the voice that when I spoke in your ear and I whispered and I said, 'This is the way, walk ye in it'? Where is it at? Where is it?" Pieced it out. Sold it. Little bit at a time. And then one day the Lord came in and said, "Where's your wedding garment?" Nothing to say. He said, "Don't know him. Take him away. Depart from me." This is a message to us. It's just a warning. God doesn't want to do that with us. He wants us to buy the truth, and He doesn't want us to sell it, and you don't ever get to the place where you're done investing in truth. That's the other thing with older folks. We can get to the spot where we think we've spent our lives understanding what the truth is. Don't need to invest anymore. We don't ever get to the place where we need to stop investing in a greater degree of truth. The Lord has truth for us and for you that He hasn't revealed to you yet. Continue to invest, thank the Lord. Continue to seek. Continue to call upon Him. I don't want to be like Esau, who sold. He sold his birthright. We won't turn and read there for the sake of time, but in the 25th chapter of Genesis, you can read the story. He got so hungry, he felt like, "Well, I can't live. I mean, might as well sell it, because what good's the birthright to me if I'm dead?" He didn't value his birthright like he should have. And so he sold it for what? A bowl of beans. A bowl of beans. Now, if you're on your sickbed almost ready to die, it doesn't seem like lentils is what you eat. I mean, it seems like that wouldn't be good for you. So, I don't know how close to death he was, but he used that as a reason. "I'm gonna die if I don't have this one bowl of beans." And I think sometimes the enemy comes our way and he says, "You can't live your life without this. You can't forsake this. You know who you are." And truth is preached, and the enemy comes along and says, "Be careful. There's no way in the world you're going to be able to live according to that." And then you buy into that and you say, "Well, instead of just struggling with it, might as well, I'll just sell that little bit. I'll do all these other things. But I'm going to piece that part of it out because I just don't think I can make it with that portion of truth. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Don't believe the lies of the devil. Don't piece out truth. Don't part it out. When you get to the place where you're getting ready to let go of something that you have been living to, or that spiritual people around you live to, and you're getting ready to let go of it, the red flags ought to be going up. The sirens ought to be going off. What are you getting ready to do? What are you getting ready to sell and why? What are you getting in return? And have you invested enough in that thing to make sure that what you're giving up is not in fact truth? And you're going to give it up, but you didn't invest enough to make sure that it was something that you should have kept your arms around and held on to it. And so people, so many times then they get in the place where they're willing to piece out a little bit of something, and they take on the idols of the world, materialism, relationships that should never take place, entertainment of the world. And we say, well, we don't worship the idols of the world. And there's a lot of things the world's putting in our hands today, saints, that's taking us away from seeking the Lord and from calling upon Him. The world's putting a lot of things in front of us. You can call it whatever you want, but when it's really hard to take it away from you, it starts to become an idol. You're starting to worship it. You're putting it in front of God. Be willing to invest in truth. Buy it. It means it's going to cost something. It means sometimes you have to set some things down. It means sometimes you have to take some things out. It means sometimes you just have to close the doors to everything else that's going on. Lord, I want what you have. And sometimes it can get, you know, closer yet. Sometimes we sell out truth because we want to harbor some feelings that we shouldn't have in our hearts. We think, Lord, this person over here, they're just not right, and I'm just not able to treat them normally, but I treat everybody else, but Lord, it's their issue. And we sell out the truth that of mercy and long suffering and all of the love, all of these things that the Lord said was so important. You know, sometimes as Christians, we're so apt to look at all of the outward things, which we sell out on that too. Fashion is another one, sports, entertainment. And we hear a lot about those. And sometimes we spend maybe we need to spend some more time on some other things, but it's easy for some of us to say, well, I don't do that. You know, I'm measured up. I look right. I'm not going to these places. But the Lord's looking at our hearts too. Don't sell out truth where the Lord's saying, be merciful, be kind, don't be critical. Do what you can to lift up your brother. Be willing to be numbered as a saint. Be willing to be a light to the world. Don't sell out those things when the Lord has a place for you. You say, well, I'm not very good at that. Be willing to give whatever the Lord's given you and leave the increase to Him. Let the Lord, leave that in the hands of the Lord. But don't sell out. Don't give it up. The scripture says in Psalms, it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind it about thy neck and write it on the tables of thy heart. If you have something bound around your neck and written in the tables of your heart, what's it going to take to get it off your heart and out for your neck? It's going to take your life. If I take truth and make it part of my heart, and I bind it about my neck, if you take the truth, you're taking me with it. Lord, help me. There's so many reasons to part out a piece of truth. And the enemy is so good at filling it in with Bondo. Here's truth. And he cuts a part out and then he patches it with something else and paints it up. And we so many good reasons to say we're good. And yet when it gets done, he just hollowed us out of truth. Hold on to truth. Invest in it. Don't let it get away. If you're the last man standing, be the last man standing. If you're the last woman standing, be the last woman standing. If you're the only girl at school, be the only girl at school. Everyone's watching you. You may be the one that the Lord's using to preach a gospel message and you don't ever know it. Don't sell. Don't part it out. Don't say, well, nobody, you know, I do this and everybody just thinks I'm weird and I'm unable to reach them because they won't listen to me. You don't know how you're reaching them. The Holy Spirit's able to use things you don't know anything about. Be encouraged. Be encouraged to go forward with the truth of the gospel. Yes, you're going to be different. It's a narrow way. It's the road less taken. That's okay. It's not a dead end. There's eternal life at the end of it. Invest in it. You're going to be glad. It's going to be worth everything. So tonight, I want to encourage you. Be challenged. What must I do to be saved? Lord, what is it? What is it that I must do to be saved? Lord, help me to buy the truth. Lord, help me to know when I'm getting ready to sell it.